Hi, this is Barry Listen Informs, the Institute for Operations Research in the Management Sciences. You're listening to Science of Better, a series of podcasts about ways that analytics and math modeling help people like you and organizations like your own. Among the standards of American political coverage is polling and forecasting the winner of the American presidential elections. We're recording this podcast on September 14th, 2012, less than 2 months before the contest between President Barack Obama and Republican challenger Governor Mitt Romney. What we'd like to know is not just what the polls say, but how predictive they are. In today's segment, we talk to Alan Lichtman of American University and Sheldon Jacobson of the University of Illinois. Both have unique presidential forecasting models, and both will speak about them at the Informs annual meeting in Phoenix in October. Articles about their methods appear in the Informs publications RMS Today and Analytics Magazine. Professor Lichtman, welcome to the Science of Better.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Jacobson, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
As we speak, President Obama has favorable ratings of about 50%. He's received withering attacks for his signature health care bill, the Affordable Health Care Act, and his presidency has galvanized the Republican base. So let me start off by asking each of you how difficult it will be for him to win a second term as president. Professor Lichtman?
Well, as you know, I have my own operations research system. It's called the 13 Keys to the White House.
Yes, indeed.
I first developed it in 1981 in collaboration with Valudger Kailas Borok, the world's leading authority on earthquake prediction. And this model goes all the way back to 1860 and forward to 1980. We developed it in 1981. It has since, in 7 elections in a row, correctly forecast the popular vote outcome of the presidential election, usually months, sometimes even years ahead of time. So it's got a 7-for-7 advance prediction track record. And it's based upon the proposition that essentially elections are won or lost, not by anything challengers do, but by the performance and strength of the party holding the White House. And the 13 keys are 13 key factors gauging the strength and performance of the party in power, looking at the big picture. Things like the short and long-term economy, foreign policy successes and failures, policy change, social unrest, scandal, third parties, incumbency. And the way the system works, if the party holding the White House wins 8 or more of the 13 keys, they will be reelected predictably. If they win fewer than 8, then the challenger is expected to win. I first issued my prediction for 2012 in the International Journal of Information Systems in January 2010. At that time, President Obama had 9 keys in his favor. Currently, he has 10 keys as a result of the elimination of Osama bin Laden, a major foreign policy success, which we saw highlighted at the Democratic convention. So Barack Obama has 2 keys more than the minimum necessary to win re-election, and that forecast has been stable for 2.5 years. Now, it is, of course, possible that a candidate could win the popular vote and lose the Electoral College. But that's only happened once in more than 120 years, and that, of course, was the very controversial election of 2000. It's a very rare event.
And I will ask you a little bit more about that in a
yes.
little while. But
sure.
From what I'm understanding, you are holding by your prediction that President Obama is likely to win the popular vote this coming November.
Correct, and also likely to win the Electoral College unless something very odd happens, like in 2000.
And Professor Jacobson, let me ask you what your feelings are about the likelihood that President Obama will win.
Our approach focuses on using the most up-to-date polling data and information and running it through an analytics model to come up with an assessment of the likelihood of each of the candidates will win. That means that the best that we can hope to do is provide what we call a value that will tell you what it would be like if the election were held today. So using, for example, the data for the polls up to the 12th of September, the likelihood that President Obama would be reelected is close to 99%, just about a guarantee with an expected number of Electoral College votes of around 305. Now, once again, that could change based on polling information. So we update our model literally daily until Election Day, November 6th.
But that's an extremely high confidence that the president will be reelected.
Absolutely. To put this in perspective, though, back in 2008, when Senator McCain was running against then-Senator Obama, on the 19th of September, the likelihood that Senator McCain would win the election was 72%. By the 30th of September, it had literally dropped to zero, and it stayed that way until, of course, the election of President Obama.
Let's look a little bit more at each of your models. And Professor Lichtman, you began mentioning earlier some of the keys. Maybe you could go through them with an emphasis on ones that are essential or that stand out at this time.
Well, they're all equally weighted, and we can go through them quickly.
Okay.
Key one is midterm elections, which the Obama administration loses. Key two is whether there is a serious contest for the incumbent party nomination. Obviously, Obama wins that. Key three is whether the candidate is the sitting president. Obviously, he wins that. Key four is whether there's a third party with a prospect of getting 5% or more of the national vote. Clearly, Obama wins that.
Not having a third party favors the incumbent.
That's right.
Okay.
Third parties usually go after the incumbent. Not 100% of the time, but they certainly do. And to the extent there are any third parties out there, and they're not going to get 5% nationally, they actually are splits within the Republican Party this time, which is interesting. Key five is whether the economy is in recession during the election year. Clearly, the economy is not what anyone wants it to be, but it's a slow recovery, not a recession. So Obama wins that one. Key six is the long-term economy. Obama loses that one. Key seven is whether or not the incumbent administration achieves major policy changes. Clearly, policy has fundamentally changed over the Bush administration. Obama wins that one.
And you're referring to the Affordable Care Act, or are you referring to additional legislation as well?
Well, there's additional, but that's the keystone. That's something Democratic presidents have been trying to do, and even a Republican, Richard Nixon, since Harry Truman, you know, for over 60 years. So it's a huge policy change and a major accomplishment. The next key number eight, is whether there's the kind of social unrest we saw in the 1960s or in the Reconstruction after the Civil War. Nothing like that in America right now, so Obama wins that one.
And you're, you're emphasizing America, so the unrest that's taking place overseas in Muslim countries is not being measured by this key.
Correct.
Okay.
Key number nine is whether there's a scandal like the Watergate scandal or the impeachment of Bill Clinton. Nothing remotely like that hitting President Obama. He wins that one. Key ten is whether the administration has avoided a catastrophe abroad like losing a war. Clearly nothing like that despite the current unrest. That's not of the magnitude to turn that key. Key 11 is whether the administration has achieved a major foreign policy success, which I had against the administration until the elimination of bin Laden. Key 12 is my most controversial call, and that's whether the incumbent candidate, Obama, is charismatic. I gave him the charisma key when he was the challenger, but I think he's lost a lot of that magic, so I count that against him. The final key, the only key that has anything to do with the challenger, key 13, is whether the challenging candidate is not charismatic. And clearly, Mr. Romney, whatever his strengths and weaknesses, is not a Ronald Reagan or a Teddy Roosevelt. So that counts for him. So the only three the incumbent has lost is midterm elections, long-term economy, and incumbent charisma. And note, you know, this is a very different system from Professor Jacobson. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the polls, and can be called long before the election. As I said, I made this first call in January 2010, and for the last election, I made my call for 2008 in February 2006.
And indeed, you and I got to speak shortly before the midterm elections in 2010, so we have a podcast with Informs that recorded your views.
Correct.
And you've mentioned that there have only been slight changes in the number of keys since 2010.
One key, and that has moved in favor of Obama, and that is the foreign policy success key.
So if you were to receive a call from the Romney campaign today, would you be able to offer them any advice?
Absolutely. And I offered this advice to John Kerry in 2004. I made my prediction that Bush would be reelected in April 2003, and I would give Romney the same advice I gave Kerry, which he didn't listen to, and Romney wouldn't listen to either, and that is you're running the absolutely wrong kind of campaign. You're running a conventional, negative, soundbite-driven, safety-first campaign. That won't help you. In fact, if you continue to do that, you'll be like John Kerry or Mike Dukakis in 1980. You'll lose, and you'll lose irrelevantly, or like John McCain. Nobody will remember anything you've said or done. So what you've got to do is shake things up. Run the opposite kind of campaign, a bold, innovative, path-breaking kind of campaign. Spell out your policies. Tell us exactly what you're going to do, exactly what legislation you're going to issue on day one. Give us a specific, detailed, and alternative vision, the way Ronald Reagan did in 1980. That way, even if you lose, you won't lose irrelevantly. You'll have made an impact on the system.
So you're not saying that your model is so tight that somebody can't turn this around?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know, even if you lose, which I think you will no matter what you do, there's losing and there's losing. There's losing irrelevantly like McCain, Dukakis, and Kerry, and there's losing relevantly like even bigger losers. Barry Goldwater in 1964 lost by 20 points, but he galvanized an entire conservative movement. George McGovern lost by 20 points in 1972, but he galvanized a liberal movement. Romney will galvanize nothing when he loses the way he's going.
Professor Jacobson, we were just saying a moment ago that your system and Dr. Lichtman's are very different. Tell us how you use polling data.
Well, we collect polling data, which is readily available from a variety of sources, and meld them through a model which incorporates Bayesian statistics, after which we then apply a dynamic program to build the Electoral College vote distribution. Now, if you look back in 2008, the three states that were the most difficult to predict were Indiana, Missouri, and North Carolina, because the polls were most inconclusive. And those, of course, were the three that we, in fact, were able to predict two of the three correctly, but they also, even in our model, were most difficult. Everyone focuses on the general popular vote, and although it's very convenient to discuss it, the reality is that one gets elected through the Electoral College vote, although it's very clear that there's a strong correlation between winning the two. However, in this particular case, we really only have eight battleground states to focus on. They would be Nevada, Colorado, Iowa, Ohio, Florida, North Carolina, Virginia, and I'll add in New Hampshire. And some may come and go. Wisconsin may come into play, may not. Michigan may come into play, may not. But let's take those eight. If you look at those eight right now, President Obama is clearly ahead. And the road to the White House for Governor Romney would require him to certainly win Florida, certainly win Ohio, certainly win Virginia, and certainly win either Nevada or Colorado or Iowa, probably two of those three. That path is so difficult, the likelihood of it happening is so small, our model is able to glean that information and basically come up with a probability of him winning at this point being extremely small, basically in the order of 1%. So we're using advanced analytics techniques to be able to glean that information from the state-specific polling data.
This is Barry List, and you're listening to the Informs podcast, Science of Better. Today's guests are Alan Lichtman and Sheldon Jacobson, who are discussing the American presidential elections. So, Professor Jacobson, let me ask you the question that I asked Professor Lichtman a little bit earlier. If you were to receive a call from the Romney campaign right now, what advice would you offer them?
Well, ultimately, they have to take advantage of what they can do well. And one of the things that happens to be the case right now, based on what's being reported in the media, is that the Romney campaign has more resources available to them. This is very, very unusual because incumbent presidents typically are able to garner much more money and funds to support their campaign. Given that fact, being able to use that money wisely and effectively to be able to focus on what their message is, and I certainly do agree with the fact that if we continue the route of negative campaigning, it's basically walking down an abyss of self-destruction, and focusing on what can be positive would be a much more effective road. So using the money strategically, I think, is the key route right now to have any hope of changing the polls, hence changing the final result of the election.
You mentioned that you started your website in 2008. How has it changed?
Well, we've revamped it so it's much easier to follow. It also has, right on the front page, trends that people could look at so they don't even have to delve into the website. We provide all of the technical methodologies through published manuscripts that are freely available to everybody. We talk about the limitations of our study, and we also have added a Senate forecasting site, which enables you to look at who's going to control the Senate. So even though right now the presidential race does not seem very close, who's going to control the Senate is absolutely critical. In fact, if we include the two independents among those who will caucus with the Democrats, the probability that each of them will either win 51 or more seats or there be a tie is actually pretty much split one-third, one-third, one-third as of the 12th of September. That doesn't change, of course.
Right. Let's talk a little bit more about the Senate race. When you say one-third, one-third, and one-third, of course, there's always a possibility of a tie. That's one of the factors you're looking at. And can you predict at this point what that means, a tie? Obviously, the party that wins a presidency would have the tie-breaking vote in the form of the vice president.
Absolutely. And what that means is that whoever wins the White House, there is a great chance they will also control the Senate because the likelihood of a tie right now is so high.
And therefore, you're predicting, if I recall, you said as high as 99% probability that President Obama will win. And therefore, even though the Democratic senatorial candidates are challenged, there is the one-third possibility that they'll win on their own and the one-third possibility that the Vice President of the United States will be a Democrat.
That's correct. As of the polls ending on the 12th of September. Once again, as has already been discussed, if the polls change, if the different strategies implemented by either campaign, if there's a major world event, if there's an economic event that could occur which could shift the voting direction, then our analysis will follow.
We only have time for a couple more questions, and I thought I'd ask what each of you intend to do the day after Election Day when the results are known, how you normally do your post-mortem. Professor Lichtman?
Well, you know, as I said, I've been right seven times in a row, although, you know, 2000 was an ambiguous situation for any forecaster.
Right.
No one could have predicted 537 votes in Florida and that the Supreme Court would step in and stop a recount. That's a unique historical event in the history of the country. So, you know, I've mainly been the day after discussing with media and colleagues why the prediction was correct. Of course, if I'm incorrect this year, and I am only a human being, not God, I'll probably abscond somewhere very far away to a nice Pacific island the day after the election. But, you know, Professor Jacobson and I, with very, very different methodologies, couldn't be more different, have reached the same conclusion. So I was very pleased to hear his results. I'd be curious. I don't know if you have the time. This might just take a second. Professor Jacobson, do you have a confidence band? I mean, it's 99%, but what's the confidence that it's going to stay over 50?
Well, what we have right now are standard deviations. So what if we look, for example, and I will just look at it, the standard deviation as of the 12th of September for the number of Electoral College votes is around 17.5. So if we look at the mean number trying to get to 269 plus 1 or 270, right now we are outside of two standard deviations for Governor Romney to win the election or President Obama to lose the election. So we're talking about a confidence interval that optimistically for the Republicans, their probability could sneak as high as maybe 5% of winning, the probability of winning. It's
Republicans could go as high as 85%?
No, 5%. So that would be 95%.
5%. Gotcha.
So right now the numbers are clearly in favor of President Obama. There's nothing that one can do to take the numbers and try and recast them in any other way. Unless there's a massive change in the sentiments in the polls and ultimately in the voters, President Obama will win the election.
And let me ask you both whether you foresee any changes to your methodology when this campaign ends and you set your eyes on 2016. Professor Lichtman?
No, I don't. The keys are, you know, they're like the North Star. You know, they're constant. They don't change because they gauge not polls, but the underlying structure of an American presidential election. Obviously, if I'm wrong this time, it's still going to be 7 out of 8 correct advance predictions. You know, no model even has a record like that long. But, you know, I might have to rethink some things.
And Professor Jacobson?
Well, after the election, what we do is a post-analysis. In fact, we've done that in 2008, and we post it on our website so people can see exactly how we did, where we did well, where we did not do so well. We are updating some of our methodologies to incorporate more information, different weighting of polls, to see if we can fine-tune. But we've been able to do that now over the last 4 years since 2008 and have come up with quite an effective approach. So any changes at this point will be very incremental.
And everyone in the press likes to think as far ahead as 4 years from now. Professor Lichtman, have you given any thought?
No, I'm still focused on this election, but I will say this. The dynamics will change because it's going to be, depending on the outcome, assuming I'm right and Obama wins, it's going to be an open seat election. If I'm wrong and Romney wins, it's not going to be an open seat election. It's going to be a sitting president. So the dynamics of the election are going to be quite different 4 years from now, depending on what happens this year.
And Professor Jacobson, any thoughts on 2016?
Well, hard to say since we're using polling data, and the most relevant polling data for us really is the last 2 to 3 weeks of the election. So until we get to that point, right now all we're doing is forecasting what could be, but until we get in that zone, hard to say. So 2016 is a long way away.
And before we go, I think I should give each of you an opportunity to let our listeners know how they can learn more about your methods, either through a book or a website. Professor Lichtman?
Yes. The fifth edition now of The Keys to the White House is out. It's The Keys to the White House 2012 edition, and anyone can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Nobles or any site. Just put in my name and put in The Keys to the White House.
And Professor Jacobson?
Our website is electionanalytics.cs.illinois.edu. If you simply Google election analytics, it will come up right away.
And we will have that information on our website as well. That's all the time we have today. We've been talking with Dr. Alan Lichtman of American University and Dr. Sheldon Jacobson of the University of Illinois. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Science of Better podcast by INFORMS, the Institute for Operations Research in the Management Sciences. For more about operations research and this series of podcasts, visit us on the web at www.informs.org. Good day, and remember, keep on crunching those numbers.